Hello, friends. You are listening to 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio, broadcasting live from UBC's Point Grey campus, situated on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam people. At CITR, we endeavor to create and uplift local and alternative art and culture, and we are forever grateful for the privilege to do so on this land. This is Amateur Hour. Thank you for joining us. On Amateur Hour, we sit down with local amateur and student musicians to talk about the music they make and the music they love. My name is Ewan, and in the studio with me today, I have Matt Plew. Matt Plew makes music both solo and with a great band named Offscreen Death. They just played last night at Grey Lab. Beautiful show, by the way.
Thank you.
We have a couple of your songs here today. Matt, tell us a little bit about you and a little bit about what we're about to listen to.
Well, we are about to listen to some music that I made, you know? That's that. I don't know. The way I would describe my personal music is... Can you hear me all right, by the way?
Oh, it's all good. The headphones, as Chris mentioned in the last broadcast, the ones that Matt are wearing are fine. The ones I'm wearing, I can't hear anything. So I'm essentially just hearing what's going on in the studio. So I might be fiddling around with that a little bit, but okay. Continue.
Well, yeah, the kind of music that I've kind of been making has been like very kind of grungy DIY-esque, you know, kind of like low fidelity in a way. I kind of started out trying to make stuff like super clean, like, ooh, how do I get like that pop compression? How do I get like that clean sound? But in making this, everything I write, by the way, is like all me. Like everything, all the mixing, all the instruments, that's all me. And I've just kind of like gravitated towards like letting it be a little dirty in a way. So I guess dirty rock is a way to classify it if you had to put a label on it. But yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to listen to Brain Fog.
Brain Fog,
I believe it's a demo of yours. So we're going to throw that on. Friends, this is Brain Fog by the wonderful Matt Plew. Have a listen. And we are back.
Woo, woo, woo.
You were just listening to Brain Fog by the wonderful Matt Plew. Matt, tell us a little bit more about this song.
Well, It's a song called Brain Fog. Sorry, I have no idea how to introduce these things. This was made pretty recently. Recently, like about a year ago. This is a demo I just kind of made in my bedroom. This was around when Offscreen Death was like starting to really like form together. This is when we actually got a drummer. And this is when I was starting to actually like take guitar seriously. And Ewan and I were just talking about this while the song was playing. Like a lot of my older like news or just like stuff I first made when I was making music was very like synth heavy, very like kind of electronic in a way, kind of like bedroom pop. But by focusing on the band more and like going deeper into like the punk and alt rock community, then that's my sound has kind of gravitated more guitar centric because I actually know how to play guitar now. And in my previous songs, like I was originally gonna bring Lobster Lifestyle here because that one's like that one's a classic.
That is,
you know,
the Matt Plew song. Yes, everyone who knows Matt Plew knows Lobster Lifestyle.
So many people came up to me in year one and two and like, "You're the lobster guy."
He's lobster.
And I was like, "Yes, I am." And I initially hated that, but then I was like, "No, that's actually awesome. I want to be the lobster guy."
Loves being the lobster guy, frankly.
This song is about like I've just been having a very forgetful memory, and as I do, I think about the worst case situation. I'm like, okay, what if I forget everything I've ever loved and do in a day?
I mean that's the human condition, right? Like it's I remember listening to this song for the first time yesterday when you sent me the files, and I was like, damn, okay, we're going for the hair wing stuff this time around, huh? Really great tune. So I just wanted to kind of take things even further back and just talk about like starting making music. Like, I feel like most artists, you know, kind of have like some kind of moment or like some gradual movement into music. Is not just a thing I like listening to. It's not just a thing to like kind of do. It's this is like my thing now. Like, yeah. I am doing music. I am a music making person. I am a musician. What was that for you? When did you realize that you wanted to do music?
To be honest, I actually remember this really well. I was just sitting in the living room just practicing some piano because I took some piano lessons back in the day.
Sure.
And my parents were just talking like, oh, what's going to like go on with our children or something like that. They were just like talking about whatever. And then I think my dad turned to me and was like, well, Matt, what do you want to do? You know, because this was at the point where I was going to go to the university and be like, well, I got to pick what I want to do with my life. Insane thing to ask a 16-year-old, by the way. But
no, it's just not true either.
When I was asked like what I want to do, it just came out of me. I was just like, I want to make music for the rest of my life. Yeah. I didn't even know I was going to say that. I just like said it. I just had the feeling. And once I said it, I was like, oh, like, this is real. This is like the first time in my life I've really felt like confident in what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just like on the journey of learning and how music works and exploring music, I've never felt so connected to, I guess, myself and the world in a way. And that's why I have so much faith in this art form, because I don't know, it's like, it's borderline spiritual sometimes, honestly. Like, that's why I go crazy on stage. It's like, that's a moment where I kind of escape the world and am transported somewhere else where I can just let my body just move on its own. Mm-hmm. And it's a moment where my mind and my body communicate in a way that nothing else can compare. And I want to dive deeper into that as far as I can because it's truly magical. And lately been just trying to be like okay with exploring the unknown and being okay with just like, I don't really know what this feeling is, but I really like it. And this is me, you know?
No, I mean, I find that a lot. I don't perform the same way you do, but like all the shows I go to, dancing is a big kind of part of that energy. Yeah. We've had this conversation with several guests at this point, the physical aspect of music, of making music, of participating in music as a bodily activity. And, you know, it's not something you quite get out of, you know, just listening to pre-recorded music. It's something that you get from being in, like, a place where music is being done live, whether it's being performed live or you have a bunch of people around you. There is something just, like, transcendent almost, which sounds so pretentious and yucky to say.
Wait, this is the pretentious podcast, all right? I don't care. I'm going to be yapping about... I'm going to be saying words like spiritual. I'm going to say words like introspective. I don't care. This is my time. All right.
Absolutely. Like some of our previous guests, and you kind of touched on this earlier, you both perform or at least make music both solo and for a band.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about the kind of like the difference between that, like what does it feel like performing with off-screen death versus when you're, you know, writing your own stuff and recording your own stuff?
I've thought about this so much. It's actually insanely different. Back before I did university and I was just writing stuff by myself, I wasn't really around a lot of like band kids necessarily, not like really rockers, and I was very like socially awkward, so I just kind of like chilled in my room and just kind of meddled around learning theory and all that stuff, and that's I'm using those skills today. But the process of doing stuff by myself is very nice for my mind, because it's the same process I feel with journaling, where it's like there's a big mesh of stuff. There's like a pencil drawing, like scribbling around on this piece of paper in my head. And the only way to really untangle it is just to sit by myself and just play some chords on a piano, or just like say some words into the microphone and see if that untangles the spiral there. And that's very good in that way. However, it's really trapping mentally sometimes, because like music is a very, very, very social art form.
Yeah.
And I didn't really realize that when I was a teenager. And it's only when I came to Vancouver and started to put myself out there that I was like, oh, this is a whole world that I was missing out on. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad I'm here now. So with Off-Screen Death, I love them so much. Dante and Anna, they really like... all that kind of like mental trapping that I get when I do my solo stuff, they're able to take me out of it, because it's like, it's no longer just like, this is my thing that I'm just putting all of my thoughts and scribbles into. This is like, hey, I have an idea. What do you think? And they bounce it between each other, and they really like catch me when I start getting in a loop. Like there's so many times during practice when I'm like, just kind of looking at the floor, like in my head, I'm like thinking of so much. Like, oh, what lyric should I do here? Is this chord good? Guys, what do you think about this? And they're like, yo, let's just play the music and just see if it sounds good. And if we don't like it, we'll change it. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds amazing, actually. You know?
No, there is something just, you know, art in general can be so collaborative if you let it, right? And it can be really trapping, like you said, to like get stuck in just your own brain, but to like share things with other people and to like work on something together. Yeah, it's really... such a magical communal experience. I've been, you know, working on some similar things. Me and my buddy Pierce are trying to write something together right now. Mm-hmm. So, Pierce, if you're out there listening, it's for you. But yeah, no.
Shout out people.
Shout out people.
I haven't done enough silly gags so far.
Frankly,
on this show.
I love people. Yeah. Next up. no, I want to talk about, so you're a relatively new performer, at least this city. I think you've played 3 gigs now.
Yeah.
With last night's being the 3rd. And yeah, I just kind of want to talk about, like, as someone new to the scene and, like, just starting kind of performing in this city, what's the scene like? Like, what is it like performing live here? You know, any fun venues, any interactions with other bands that are interesting?
It's just sick. Yeah, right. I got really, like, it's, I don't know, our first gig ever was this January. My first time ever playing on a stage as well. And I was shivering. I was shaking. My knees were about to like snap apart. And I was just like bouncing around during soundcheck. I was like, guys, we're about to play. Isn't that so cool? And they're like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, man. It's all good. And then as soon as I get on stage, like all of that is gone. I'm just like, yo, what's up? I'm acting like as if I've been on this stage my whole life. And I didn't expect that to happen. So it was really weird. It felt like another part of me just came out of nowhere. But the people of this city are just so nice. Everyone supports each other. Everyone's like, yo, I loved your show. Everyone's like, yo, I want to come to the next one. Whenever someone like can't make it, they like are like, yo, I'm so sorry I couldn't make it. I'll definitely come to the next one. Like, everyone wants to support each other, because we all know how rough it is out here. And we all know how rough it is to be, like, a 20-year-old wanting to make music and, like, live off of it and just, like, in this society, and also, like, be brave enough to tell people that. So when you find someone who is also, like, able to express that dream and that vision, it's just kind of like a nonverbal communication there, where it's just like, okay, you get it, and I want to see you win. Like, growing up, I kind of viewed it as a competition. Like, okay, I need to get this, and I need to get this like done, and get this amount of listeners, you know, or else I'm not a real musician, right? But in coming here and in performing, I've really learned, like, none of this is a race. None of this is a competition. Yeah. We are all here. We're all gonna die.
Okay.
I'm just going to make this show just
about... Sorry to spin it out a little bit there.
But, like, really, like,
no,
you know...
No, for sure. I mean, there's four bands on a bill. You know, they all want each other to do well because that brings more people, right?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's just such a beautiful community here, mm-hmm. you know?
And not to put you on the spot here, but I believe you do have an interesting story from yesterday about how certain community in your jam space helped fill in a rather tragic and sudden void.
Oh, my God. Okay.
If you want to talk about that.
Oh, absolutely. So yesterday we were scheduled up for a gig at Grey Lab, and we get a text from our drummer at like 4 p.m. Soundcheck is at 5:30, by the way. We get a text at like 4 p.m. and she was like, yo, I'm not feeling well. I can't play tonight. And we're like, well, I guess we don't want to cancel the gig.
And like flu bad, like not getting out of bed bad.
Yeah. But it was pretty bad. And we were like, okay, well, I guess we'll cancel. But then one band already canceled. Mm-hmm. So if we cancel, the show's over. So Dante's our bassist.
He's a fan favorite.
I love Dante so much.
Everyone loves Dante.
Everyone listening, if you see Dante on the street, you'll just know.
You'll know it's him.
Go give him a hug. Say you love him. But Dante and I were just like, okay, we gotta find someone. And so we just wandered around the jam space. We found this, like, I don't know, late 20s Nova Scotian, and he was just unlocking the door to his space, and we were like, yo, do you play drums? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, do you want to play a gig and potentially get paid? And he was like, yeah, sure. And so we just brought him in the studio, just kind of messed around, and we were like, all right, sure, let's just do it. Yeah. And so then we drove him over, and we did the gig with Gabe. Everyone, I love Gabe.
Absolutely. No, it was such a, yeah, I ran into you like shortly before the show and heard all this story, and I was like, wow, you've had a fun day. yeah, we'll just kind of transition into Offscreen Death a little bit. And I feel like, yeah, because hearing some of your stuff from like way back when, very different to what you have brought to the show here, I feel like mm-hmm. the stuff you brought is a little bit similar to what Offscreen Death plays, which is a lot more of this kind of, you know, heavier, raw, kind of almost punkish feel to it. I don't know how mm-hmm. you would classify Offscreen Death, but like, yeah, I kind of want to ask, like, where is this sound coming from? Like, what inspires this very like throaty, heavy, screaming kind of sound?
This is kind of like a different way to start, but the way I kind of start writing music, back when I was in Moscow visiting my grandpa, I was just messing around on his piano, like trying to learn chords. And my grandpa was a composer back in the day, and he was trying to teach me like what to do. And he was like, Matushka, you need to just let your fingers just feel around the piano. And I was like, really? Okay. And so I just kind of felt around, and I expected it to sound terrible, but like, I don't know, it just kind of felt right. And he was like in the back, like, yes, that's amazing. And a lot of, like, that's kind of been my philosophy for writing now. I just kind of, like, obviously I, like, know chords and stuff, but sometimes when I'm bored, I'll just, like, let my fingers feel throughout. And that informs my songwriting process, because by kind of letting my body figure out the sound, then that kind of transitions into my vocal style, which is, like, what do I feel right now and how can I channel that? And that ends up being a lot of kind of, like, yelling, kind of, like, singing, sustaining notes, trying to, because I've never really had the opportunity to just like be loud and obnoxious. I've just kind of like been very reserved most mm-hmm. of my life. And so this is a moment where I feel comfortable. This is around people that I feel comfortable around. And so I might as well be the most myself that I can possibly be. And so I let the fingers do that. I think I let my fingers do the talking, and I'm just like, okay, maybe, okay.
Strike that one. but it's liberating, yeah? You know, like that kind of sound, just like jumping around on stage, fully belting it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fun. I remember the first show that you guys did, I went to at, what was the name of the place?
Bully Studios.
Bullies, that's right. Fantastic venue out in New West. And it was, I think, probably the most fun mosh pit I've ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that perfect size where it's like, you know, it's a pretty good crowd, but it's not so big that it's just like this horrible meat compactor like at the King Gizzard shows. It's more like everyone's actually running around and dancing and bumping into each other, and it's just this incredible energy brought by Offscreen Death's very, you know, raw music. I love that sound. I think it's great for you guys.
It's a bit ironic because I am very much a perfectionist, and yet the sound is very raw mm-hmm. and very like real. And so it's a bit of an oxymoron to be like, I'm such a perfectionist about very raw and abrupt music.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of why I really gravitate towards the sound we're doing right now. It's just like, I'm trying to kill that part of me that's like stressing so much, but mm-hmm. also that part of me is really pushing myself to like explore new areas and like explore new sounds. And that's like, okay, it doesn't have to be objectively perfect, but because of this, like this attitude to just like explore, I'm going to push myself way further than I think I can possibly mm-hmm. go right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting towards the end of this first interview segment here. I just want to ask one more thing. Just yeah. So with Oscar Neff particularly, how did this like little project come together, and where are you guys heading to next?
How much time do we have?
we've got like 2-3 minutes before
okay.
we should go to break.
Let's see if I can wrap this up. so I met this girl on a dating app, and she got me a job at the Vancouver Aquarium, and through that I met a guy named Dante.
And fan favorite, yeah.
Yeah, and one day Dante was like, yo, do you want to jam sometime? Because he knows I play guitar, and he plays bass, and he was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I would absolutely love that. And then him and I just met up at my place one time and just kind of messed around on Logic Pro while just like, I don't know, just saying some chords and just seeing what could happen. And that was pretty much the entire process for like almost a year. And then I got a job at a cafe like last year, I think, like, I don't know, just around summertime. And as I was about to quit around October, I met this girl named Anna. Mm-hmm. Anna. And I were talking, I was like, hey, what kind of hobbies do you have? And she's like, oh, I play drums. And I'm like, and then I
it
like.
It all comes together.
I like pretty much get on my knees and I'm like, do you please join our band? And so.
We need a drummer. We need to do it now.
Please. Yeah. So that's how we formed. And like, I was, where are we going? Man, the best way I can describe it is that we started this as like kind of a cross-country run, but we don't know the ending, and we're just going to push ourselves to see how far this can possibly
sure.
go, you know? It will be across the entire city. Are we going to go into another province? I don't know. We're just going to see how far this can possibly go, and I want to go far.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Matt Plew is going far. We have one more song from yours. Do you want to say anything about Decomposer before we listen to it?
Oh, this one. I really like this one. It's just, I love the pianos in this one so much. It's about the idea of dying and letting the earth consume you and your dead body, and being grateful that you're here at all.
It's frankly very uplifting stuff. friends, we're about to listen to Decomposer by the wonderful Matt Plew, and
that's
then we're going to go into a break, listen to some ads, listen to some more great music from artists you may or may not have heard of,
yes!
And then we'll be back with Matt.
I love music!
After the break to talk about the artists that he's brought in to talk about this week. All right, everybody, this is Decomposer.
I was here. Western Canadian Music Award winners Sargent and Comrade are back with their signature blend of lo-fi soul and ninja funk. Their upcoming album Power draws inspiration from the art of kung fu, with themes of inner harmony, discipline, and self-love. Catch Sargent and Comrade in concert, presented by Infidels Jazz at the Kingsway Club in Vancouver on Saturday, May 3rd.
Are you a writer?
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something?
Events?
Personal essays?
Anything!
Submit to Discorder magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia with your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show, or just tune in and listen. We promise it's worth it.
Blue eyes crying in the rain. I know. Hi there. You're listening to CADR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
DOXA, Western Canada's largest documentary film festival, returns to present the 24th edition from May 1st to the 11th. DOXA will screen a roster of timely and thought-provoking documentaries in theatrical venues across the city, bringing filmmakers and audiences together for an engaging cinema experience. The 2025 lineup showcases 39 features, 30 short and mid-length films, and industry events. Screenings will take place at the Vancouver Playhouse, the Cinematheque, VIF Center, and SFU Goldcorps Center for the Arts. Head to doxa.ca to grab your tickets and explore all that DOXA has to offer this May.
Turned all of the clocks back by 15 minutes a day, till I felt like I was drowning just by being awake. You switched out all of the light bulbs till I couldn't even see my hands, and there was a photograph beside my bed of you and me, but I don't recognize it. Whispers and laughing out in the hallway. There was a time, I think, but I'm not sure, you called me by another name. Where did I go? Pull me below, under the water. Where did I go? Pull me below, under the water. And I might be lost for now, but I'm clawing my way from hell to your door. Coming on. Just turn all of the clocks back by 15 minutes a day. I'm quietly counting the seconds away. Switch out all of the light bulbs. Fill the house with shadows. There was a photograph beside my bed of you and me, and I'm coming to get it. Something is moving out in the hallway. There was a time our love was strong enough to raise me from the dead. Where will you go when I pull you below, under the water? Where will you go when I pull you below, under the water?
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio. This is Amateur Hour. You were just listening to Pull You Below by The Narcissist Cookbook. Narcissist Cookbook is a Scottish artist. They will be actually doing a show here pretty soon, I think the 4th. They write a lot of these kind of moody music. It's a rainy day here today, and I wanted to play something off of that. Queer musician, too. Really, really cool person.
Very nice. While I was listening to that, I was just kind of looking off into the distance at that picture of Sonic and Mario just making out.
Yeah, so behind us in the studio, there is a picture of Mario and Sonic just locking lips, and I don't know what to do about it, but it's
very entrancing.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful piece of art is, I think, what it is. Mm-hmm. Anyways, definitely take a look, listen to Narcissist Cookbook, fantastic artist. This is Amateur Hour. My name is Ewan. In the studio with me today, I have the wonderful Matt Plew.
That's me.
We are in the second part of our show now, where Matt has brought in an artist that he is going to spotlight.
Yeah.
This is a Russian artist. I believe the name roughly translates to the second floor amazes, or amazing second floor.
Yeah, the amazing second floor. Let's just
call
it that
for now. Russian grammar is what it comes down to.
Russian grammar is so much fun, man.
Yeah. So before we listen to these songs, tell us a little bit about them.
Well, Toloro Etaj Polozhayet is their Russian name, and they are based out of Moscow. They're like an indie pop kind of band. And the way I found them is that, well, I'm a Russian guy in the sense that my parents, every single person in my family was born in Russia except for me. And they just didn't teach me the language. And so now I'm just kind of like trying to learn it through like artifacts and pieces of art and stuff like that. And on my journey of like trying to figure it out, I was listening to some Russian music and I didn't really know what music to look up, so I was just, or just to listen to, so I was just like, let's find some Russian indie bands that are going on right now. Because whenever I ask my grandpa, you know, I love him, he only gives me like classical music.
Yeah, he's got the Four Guys from 3 centuries ago.
Yeah, no, and it's like, I need to listen to something new. And then I found these guys on some playlist, I forget which one, and oh my god, they're like, they just captivated me. Like, something about their sound just is like nothing else I've ever heard before, and I just love them so much.
Yeah, I'm excited to jump into it. Just before that, I want to get ahead and remember that there was a little bit of technical difficulties during the break. The song we played, I think the should have been the third song on the break, Knees Deep by The Beths, fantastic song. Once again, the computers in this studio have conspired against me, and the file just turned into something else halfway through.
You can't trust computers nowadays, man.
Never. Anyways, we have a couple songs by...
Would you interview a computer one day if it was capable of making music? If ChatGPT gave you a song, would you interview ChatGPT? I'm the interviewer now.
Frankly, no. Aw.
That's good. That's good, actually.
Well, because he wouldn't say as many funny things as you do. Anyways, tell us about the first song that we're going to listen to. What's it called?
The first song is called Yalichi, and I don't know the exact translation, but I love it so much. It sounds like, to me, sounds like shooting stars falling down at 11 p.m. on a dark night when you're on the walk home, and you just don't know what's going on in life, but the world is telling you that you're on your way to something cool.
All right. Well, with that, friends, this is The Second Floor Amazes.
Выступающий в огне ярким солнцем сожжен.
Hello, friends. We are back from the break. You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio. This is Amateur Hour. I am here with the wonderful Matt Plew. Matt, what were we just listening to?
We were just listening to...
Matt is in a fun mood today, people.
I'm just so excited. That was Luna by Vtoro Etaj Polozhayet, or English translated is called Luna by Second Floor is Amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to jump into learning a little bit about this band. So before the break, you briefly talked about how you kind of discovered them through, you know, you wanted to find more Russian indie bands since you kind of have that background. While we were listening to this, you know, there's always that great moment when someone plays their music for you of them kind of pointing me like, oh, this part right here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just want to talk about like what about this band do you love? Like why did you choose to bring them in?
I don't know. I don't like talking about why I love things so much because it's not very interesting because I'm just like, it's just this, you know? While we were listening to that first song, Yalchi, there's that melody where it's like, boom, ba-da-boom, ba-ba-boom, boom, boom, boom. Like, I have nothing else to say about that other than just like...
It's very good.
I love that part so much. And that's why I do music is because like... It says so much that like I can't describe with words. That's why I could never be a music journalist because like I don't know how to say it. I just have to act it, and it's just like that melody, that like the oh my god, the reverb, like the tone of their guitars is so beautiful, and the vocalist is just like he's got such a good. It just meshes so well with everything mm-hmm. else going on, and it's like it's just flawless to me. I love it so much.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I feel like. A lot with music journalism. You know, there's very good music journalism out there. There's great stuff in CITR's own Discorder magazine. But I think a lot of music journalism could also get bogged down by a lot of, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, not vernacular. But, like, a lot of kind of, like, inside terms, you know, a lot of various terminology that kind of just is trying to capture something that can't be captured, right? Because it's something that is just so, like, integral, like, It comes from within. It is impossible to explain these things, and that's why we make them into songs.
That's why I'm really jealous and very, like, I'm very shocked whenever, like, I read, like, a music journalist article mm-hmm. and I'm like, whoa, you just described that so perfectly.
Yeah.
That's a talent.
Because it comes down, I think, a lot of the times more to, like, poetry than it really does to, like, necessarily analysis. You know, it's a combination of formal analysis and, like, a certain degree of poetic writing to be able to actually capture mm-hmm. the essence of that song, of that album. And yeah, it's very impressive. So music journalists out there, keep it up, man.
We love you. I used to write for Discorder a little bit.
That's
and,
true. I forgot about that.
It was pretty fun. And that's actually what got me like exposed to like the local music scene here. That's I think the first time I went to Redgate was to write for a Discorder section. And I discovered Jackson Ramsey, who are an amazing, amazing local band out there. I mm-hmm. love them so much.
I've almost written for Discorder so many times, and then a term paper would come up, and it'd be like, okay.
Classic.
I got a lot of other writing to do. That's mm-hmm. the English degree lifestyle.
Isn't it so nice that life is just...
Writing?
Also just choosing how to suffer, you know?
Sure.
I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, you got to choose the most beautiful and fun way to suffer.
Exactly.
It's pretty much existence. It's great. So, yeah, this band, Second Floor Amazes, Amazing Second Floor, however the hilarious grammar translates. how does this kind of fit into what you normally listen to? Are there other kind of Russian indie bands that you find yourself into? Or is this kind of your primary listen?
These guys I've been really, like, keeping track of, like, a lot of, but there's some amazing, let me pull
And they're not a particularly big band either, right?
No. They have, like, only, like, 29K on Spotify. And the reason I brought them here is just, like, I want, like, the English sphere to understand that there's a lot of beautiful Russian music out there. I feel like a lot of it is kind of, I don't know, people view Russia as a very, like, mystical kind of weird place. And I just want to, like, kind of shine a light on, like, no, this is, like, very modern and a lot of stuff that we can, like, personally connect with. It's not an alienating culture. It's, like, they have a lot of similar tastes to us.
Yeah, the people there are still making good music.
Yeah. Uvula, I don't know how to pronounce it, but their song Elektrichisketok, I don't know the English pronunciation, but just like that song as well, amazing. Kino is a classic Russian band that everyone should listen to if they're looking for Russian music. And DDT. DDT is so good as well.
Cool.
Those bands are like the main Russian ones I've been tuning into.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. I don't think we've had someone come on the show yet with a non-English language artist.
We're breaking barriers
today.
Yeah,
we're breaking down the barriers. And yeah, I mean, I you kind of touched on this, but like, do you imagine that's the main reason people wouldn't know about them as much? Just
yeah.
like because of that big like cultural.
And another, yeah, I can't really like type it into my phone unless I have the Russian keyboard and no Russian as well.
Yeah.
So it just comes down to like, does
sure.
it just happen to you?
Yeah, it does make it harder when it's a different alphabet as well. Like it's, you know, I think a lot of people end up finding French artists is probably, I think, aside from English music, probably the thing that I'd say most people would end up listening to. Maybe you know, a good degree of Spanish language mm-hmm. stuff as well. But yeah, it's really wonderful to find these things because like, I don't know, you know, I am one of these horrible people who only speaks the one language. though
bad person.
Yeah, no, terrible person for that. I did French all the way through high school and then was like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
More because I didn't like doing language classes than learning the language. Language is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, you know, there's a lot of music that I'll listen to from a different language that I don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
And yet so much is communicated, like you said, like just the way the music feels and this kind of like transcendent feeling it captures. And listening to this, I took a brief listen before the show, but this was my first time actually listening to these songs. Like really that description you gave, if you're able to reprise it.
The stars shooting?
Yeah. Very much hits. That is, there's a sensation there. Like there's something cosmic and magical about that.
Cosmic is a good word to use.
I think so. Yeah. It's really wonderful stuff. And I think I'll definitely be listening to more of them. If people want to listen to more, do you have any like next song to listen to, next album of theirs?
They did release another album that I completely forgot the name of. Dvolci? I don't know how to pronounce that, but it came out in 2022. That one's also fantastic. Just like the first and third track are my personal favorites.
For those who might not know Cyrillic alphabet, can you describe what the album cover looks like?
The album cover looks like three towers and a white circle looping through them.
Cool. That's a cool image. All right. Well, we're starting to reach the end of our show here. But
who knew amateur hour lasts an hour?
Only an hour. It's
what?
I mean, it's not even usually a full hour. It's kind of false advertising, really, if you think about it. But kind of want to tie back into this kind of approach to music where, you know, it's expressing something that you can't necessarily capture with words, or at least not in the same way you could with writing or with even just speaking. How much do you feel that you tie that into the way that you write music?
Oh, absolutely. I think everything I write is kind of just surrendering myself to my innate feelings and what my body wants to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that acceptance of just being okay with not knowing exactly what I'm feeling has let me, ironically, kind of express myself in so much more detailed way. I kind of just let the music just take over me, and I just go with what comes out. And by whatever comes out, I'm like, okay, I guess this is a part of me now. I'm presenting that to you. Here you go, you know? And I'm trying to kill that part of me that wants to perfect it so much. Like, no, don't look at this until this is done. I just want to be like, yo,
yeah.
I just like sat in my room for 2 hours. Apparently this is me. Here you go.
No, for sure. I mean, I remember speaking with a song by Plumtree earlier. I spoke to the lead singer of Plumtree, which was an incredible experience. And one of the things she talked about was, yeah, very much the idea of like music as this thing that if you sit too much, if you keep toying with it, keep trying to get it good, you're never going to put anything out.
Yeah.
And the first step is like, even if you don't think what you're making is particularly polished or even good, just getting out of that basement and like sharing that music with
yeah.
the world. Let people know what you've been doing. Because when it comes out, I think that's when you realize like, I've made something, I've created something here. You know, I feel a lot with writing. Like when I share something I've written with someone, it's like, even if this isn't polished, even if it isn't necessarily great, this is something new.
Yeah.
And this is something I've officially made, and it's no longer just this like little draft that doesn't mean anything. It is something out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of ties back into that idea of, you know, capturing these more grand kind of movements and emotions. If you keep sitting there trying to tweak it forever, you might not end up really getting what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta get it out there to start with.
And that's why community is so special too, because if there's someone else out there that recognizes the power that music has to possess you and just
mm-hmm.
like take over you, that's a very beautiful thing to recognize in someone else, because it's like, oh, this isn't just a me thing. This is like a human thing,
yeah.
you know?
No, it's such a universal human experience.
I love music.
We
that's
love
the conclusion
music.
Of, that's the conclusion of this hour. We've realized yeah, frankly, music is actually quite awesome.
Frankly, we went in here hating music and
yeah.
we come out and we're big music
I walked
guys
through
now.
This door and I was like, why am I here? I hate this. Yeah. Everything I've made is disgusting.
Music, yuck. But now I'm like, music, I like that.
You know what made me realize that?
What's that?
Sonic and Mario kissing.
Okay. This is stupid. Let's end the show. No more show.
What? Thank you for having me.
Thank you, guys. Matt, what do you have coming up? Any new releases? Any new gigs?
We got a gig at 64 Kingsway May 31st. I will be in Vancouver for the summer, and I will be releasing a lot of new music. If anyone wants to collaborate, please hit me up, Matt_Plu on Instagram. And I just want to meet so many lovely people.
Mm-hmm.
We got another gig coming up in July as well. We got hella gigs, okay? Just stay in tune. Stay in tune. And also follow Offscreen Death Band
Absolutely.
On Instagram.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining me, Matt.
Thank you for
this has
me.
Been an absolute joy. You've been definitely our most energetic guest. So thank you so much for coming on. We're going to listen to one more song by the wonderful Remember Sports here in a second, and then it is going to go back to the Ghost Mix that plays here in between shows. And
ghosts.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Would you let a ghost on this?
I would interview a ghost in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, I would love to get the Ghost Mix ghosts on here.
Oh, like the...
Yeah, the one that haunts the studio and plays all the music.
When, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the music you listen to in between official shows is handpicked by the ghost that haunts the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to hand it over to them now. But no, first, this is I Liked You Best by Remember Sports. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, and have a great week. We'll be back
love
in two
all.
Weeks. All right.